James, I have something to say. Months ago, or several podcasts ago at least, we had such angst over a term for people who gave information to an AI generator, and we came up with the term prompter. I think we were onto something.
I am Groot. God, I hated that. Did you see the Guardians of the Galaxy with Groot?
I don't watch any of that stuff that you watch.
That was awful. There was a character in there that was just so, I don't know, cute baity. It's basically a tree, a walking tree who's like super strong and impervious. And all he says is, "I am Groot."
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Marvel Universe, which has completely dominated our cinematic universe.
Okay, I was talking about the prompters.
I know. I was going completely off track. I was moaning kind of like
Groot.
This character, all he says is, "I am Groot." And he has one friend that can understand what he's saying. And this character was played by Vin Diesel. I think his name is Vin Diesel.
I don't know.
And apparently, you know, Vin Diesel is such an amazing actor that he recorded, I think, 1,000 different takes of him saying, "I am Groot," so that they would have just the right intonation for each individual time he said it.
That's fantastic. So he worked one day.
Well, I don't know. It seems like it might take a couple of days to say, "I am Groot," 1,000 times.
Well, that'd be so awesome. And then you just never have to go back.
Could you imagine being paid like tens of millions of dollars to say one line?
I would love it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great work if you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Jeff Koons level work. yes, we were talking about... I'm sorry.
I know. Totally, you just digress. You. But, you know, I woke up thinking about that.
I like to think that I regress. We were trying to come up with a term like, you know, someone who paints is a painter. Someone who sculpts is a sculptor.
Right.
But what do we call people who generate AI art? You know, their text input. Oh, God, now he's meowing. All right.
Okay, be right back.
All right, Luke, you won.
Okay.
So we were trying to come up with a term to what to call these people.
Right.
These crazy people like me who do this. And
right.
I still haven't found one. But
well, we did. Yeah, go ahead.
I wasn't really that happy with it. But Axios is stealing all of our ideas.
Right.
And basically calling them prompt engineer. Okay, the addition of engineer makes it a little better, but still prompt. And prompt engineer is better than just prompter, but still leaves me feeling a little bit short.
Right.
They had an article, AI's rise generates new job title, prompt engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's better than nothing. I mean, I guess that's what all those millions of people in human resources finally did something. They came up with a new term. This is what their job is.
Mm-hmm.
The job is to come up with new terms like this.
And all of a sudden, people have mastery over the skill.
Oh, well, that's the funny part, isn't
that
it?
That was the funny part. It's like they're putting it on their resumes.
One of the funny parts is that there is a gold rush of people trying to fill in this void. It's corporate executives and people in corporations a lot of times don't seem to be that smart. Or maybe it's not that. They just don't want to do their own thinking. So they have to hire consultants to do everything. So there's a gold rush of people going in to explain what AI is to corporations. And I did this years ago. I think it was at Pfizer. I was going in there to do a little consulting about web design and social media and stuff like that. And I spent the time just explaining what the internet was to these people.
Oh, geez.
And what Facebook was and like really, really basic stuff. And the funny, this was in New York City. New York City at a huge corporation, a huge, very well-funded corporation. And these were a couple of young women. So they were maybe at most 30 years old, New Yorkers who seemed like they should be the cutting edge of everything, especially since the salaries they were getting paid at Pfizer. But anyway, it was kind of mind-numbing to... And this is not the only time I've done that. You know, you go in and you have to explain pretty simple concepts, technology concepts, to people who should know these things already.
So do you think they didn't really understand? Because I would really, really, really like to see the job description to see what kind of nonsense, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to write those and you just come up with all kinds of wacky.
Well, they're out there. And that's, you know, the human resources. I like to pick on them because I think they're a worthy profession of picking on because they like to make everything regular. They like to they want everything to be a checklist. This is how Microsoft became the dominant technology company. They identified early on that the best way to spread their products through corporate America was to create certifications. And what that allowed people to do, or HR departments, an HR department could look at a candidate. One candidate, IT candidate, would be, yeah, I've worked in computer for 10 years and I do this, this, and this. Versus, oh, I have a certificate for Microsoft Office and I first have a certificate for Microsoft IT connectivity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They love that certificate stuff. That was just, it was like honey for them. That was manna from heaven when they see something that like a certificate. And so even though the certification process wasn't particularly impressive and you only wound up learning about the Microsoft product, so that's all you can actually implement once you get to the job, it basically took over the corporate world. So it was kind of like a backdoor. It was very clever from right. Microsoft standpoint. Oh, that was a rant, huh?
Right. I remember those Microsoft certifications. I just wanted to see the job description because this quote from the article, did you catch this? Writing a really great prompt for a chat box persona is an amazingly high leverage skill and an early example of programming in a little bit of natural language. It's like, wow. We were just making up words and hoping that it could spit something out.
Well, no, I mean,
you
the system
a little
bit.
Well, you have to use your head a bit, yeah.
You use the system a little bit and you just learn the system. It's just our learning experience. You don't need any programming. I guess if you have a programming mind, but I don't think that programming has any relevance to this because the programmers don't even understand it.
Right, a high leverage skill, though.
The programmers making the AI bots don't really understand how they work.
Well, I remember you saying that as I was like checking out this little article and... Wow. So anyway, what I came out with it is it may or may not be the job of the future because they're like, yeah, this will probably go away as soon as it started.
Right. And there are so many different people trying to get in on it. There are people writing books about it now. There are online classes. The market is totally flooded overnight. And I respect these people for, you know, jumping in on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
The bandwagon's going to fall off a cliff, though.
I think so. It just cracked me up because
So get off soon.
I know we just started talking about this, but maybe it was always out there. I don't know how. And there was just this big blow up. What?
You know what it's like?
What?
It's like if you're trying to get into podcasting now, who in their right mind would start a podcast now?
Exactly.
It's way too late. Like if you started 15 years ago, you'd be gold. You'd be solid. You would have gotten, you know, it didn't take much. Joe Rogan got a podcast, right?
Right.
It doesn't take much if you did 15 years ago.
Right.
Starting now, you have no hope.
Right. So we have no hope, but we just like doing it, right?
Yeah. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
We have. So we have.
We have no hope.
So it just seems like it just exploded. Now there's books being written, job descriptions being generated, you know, prompters, like tuning up their prompting portion of their brain to be that high leverage. It's like, how the hell did this happen overnight?
Yeah, they've been working on this for years, AI. Okay. But they finally got to the point, there was a kind of a breaking point where they were getting pretty good results, but really fast. Right? You work on something for a long time, but then it actually catches, it engages. Mm-hmm. This is the moment we're at with that.
Okay.
And that has left a lot of people flat-footed, who's like, what is this all this AI stuff people are talking about? You know, because it's all anybody wants to talk about. You know, executives of big companies are scared because they don't understand it, so they want someone to come in and explain it to them. Okay. And they want to figure out how they can use it to leverage whatever their company value so they can raise their stock price so they can get a big payout.
Right.
But the root problem still remains, and that is you don't know exactly what you're going to get at. You never get what you want, really. You have to be kind of flexible. If you go in with a very specific idea that you want executed and you need it to hit certain points and be exactly what you describe, you're not going to get that.
I don't think so, no.
Which is why I think of it, as I've said before, more of a creative tool. It's like you can throw an idea at it and it'll give you something, not really what you were asking for, but it'll give you an idea. It'll give you an idea because it'll make you think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually one of the things I really liked about this article was that it had a whole list of different resources in it. And it has like resources to, you can actually go and buy prompts. This is one website that says, hey, do you want prompts on how that will generate good-looking, vibrant animal portraits for you? Well, this is $2. You can buy this set of prompts, and you can use this.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that was great. It's really nice to have that kind of those resources in there. So I thought, from that point of view, this is just a really banger article. It has actually a lot of useful information in it.
Interesting. Did you send it to me?
No, it's Maxios. Oh, yeah, this is the one you read. So this is the Axios.
I guess. I was like, gosh, because it was so short, but it was jam-packed.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It was short, which is beautiful. I love that. But it's also filled with links to actual usable resources. Let's see. One of them was, and this kind of proves the point. You go to prompthero.com. So, and Prompt Hero will show you an image and then show you the prompts that were used to make that image.
I see.
I went through some of these prompts and I'm like, oh, these are really very detailed, good, well-constructed prompts. And then I look at the images and I say, well, that's a really nice image, but it lacks most of the actual items on the list in the prompt. It's like these things don't really compute. It's a great starting point. It gives you ideas, but it doesn't give you a final idea if you really needed to have something very specific. And the best example of where this can be used was another one I go into, Kriya.ai. I was looking through some of their images, their AI-generated images, and they had one for sci-fi panels, rivets, cut lines, white paint, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm thinking, you know, in sci-fi games and movies and whatnot, you're constantly trying to find a new way to have a sci-fi wall or panel. This is a big thing for set design in sci-fi movies. The result of this prompt was not anything I would call usable, but it was really mm-hmm. different from the kind of panels I'm used to seeing. So it's kind of a creative impetus. It is like, oh gosh, this is a really good way to get kind of an alien vibe or way of thinking mm-hmm. about how to make panels. Cause it was like, kind of got the idea, but broke the idea. And a broken idea can be an interesting idea.
Right.
Sorry, that's another rant.
That's true. No, that's true. Another rant. That's okay. No, I just don't know how far this is going to go. As I was reading the article, I was thinking about that chat box. It kind of went off the rails when that guy was kept pressing it with questions.
Right. I don't know. This level of AI we has gotten to a really usable point as far as laying a creative groundwork. I don't know if this particular iteration of AI will get to the point where it is like a final product. You can just give it a parameter and it will do what you want. Like a human. A human, you can say, all right, the illustration needs to have a woman standing with a gun pointing at the camera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Execute. If you do that with AI, you're going to get something good, but it's not going to be what you want. And it's going to lock a lot of the details that you requested. Whereas you do that with human, you know, so are we going to get to that point with this level of AI? I don't know. I don't think so, but I could be
wrong.
Well,
as you were saying that, you know, it's kind of interesting because that's like human to human. And so our experiences are very similar. So I could see what you were saying to me and I could probably execute it somewhat closer to what you wanted than a non-sentient box or whatever these things are. So maybe it has to do with that experience, that common experience, that we would recognize it easier from a human as opposed to from an artificial intelligence. I just had that thought as you were talking.
That's part of it. How I communicate it to you, there may be sub-vocal or extra vocal indications I'm giving to you that you pick up on.
Yeah, and we're both human.
Plus,
so we have the same kind of experience.
And once we get to know each other, we can understand each other's background and we can mm-hmm. tweak what we say to be more communicative.
All right, you can fill it in. You fill it in.
Yeah, of course, you might make a poor assumption, and that can either be good or bad. All right, I think that's probably enough on AI, though, huh?
I think probably, yeah. I mean, AI is AI.
Because I don't know if you remember this, but before AI blew up, we were all talking about NFTs.
Right. Right before, I mean, directly, it was like bam and then bam, right?
It was the thing, and then it stopped being the thing because everybody realized it was a big scam, and the market literally imploded. But apparently not so imploded that it still can't trade $480 million a month worth of exchanges right. on NFTs.
Okay, so what you're saying is NFTs are down, but they're not dead?
They might be dead. I'm a little worried that these are more the half, like almost half of that number, I think, is mostly from zombie trades.
You think so? Because it said something about, like, I didn't know that people made a living doing day trading of NFTs.
I don't think they do. See, this is my problem here. When you look at...
Did you not believe that? I found that hard to believe. I'm sorry for jumping over.
There's a startup company whose sole aim is to make NFTs into a day trading activity.
I see.
And 40% of last month's trading came from that mm-hmm. company. It's a startup plus day trading plus NFTs. What could go wrong?
Gosh, I don't know.
Or if you're a living sentient human being who has been alive for more than 3 seconds, mm-hmm. you realize that everything will go wrong because
right.
those are all terrible things. Most startups fail.
Right.
Day trading, you know, was a huge thing for like 5 minutes, like 15, 20 years ago. It was an internet thing. You could trade on the internet. You can get on. You can make a lot of money.
Right.
Until it was discovered that, no, in fact, everybody who was day trading was losing vast amounts of money. And it was really one of the most efficient ways. And there's really no better way to lose more money faster than day trading.
Really?
It's just remarkable.
That just doesn't sound good.
It's a remarkable technique for burning cash.
So are these guys or bots or whatever they're doing, burning cash? They talked about this concept of sweeping the floor. Could you define that, please?
I was hoping to avoid that, but sweeping the floor is they will go in and buy up all the NFTs from an artist on the hope that someday they will become valuable. Basically, it's sweeping garbage. It's buying garbage.
Okay.
You don't even know what you're buying. You're just buying whatever's out there. At pennies on the dollar, because last year before the crash, 30 days worth of trading would have been billions of dollars.
Billions,
not hundreds of millions,
right.
But billions. So that has come down a long way. So they think there's still some value there. They didn't learn the lesson that when a market crashes, it crashes because there's in fact no value there.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least this market did. So that was kind of the big ugly secret, that most of these trades are coming from a company who is day trading, who is just trying to prop up the prices of NFTs. So it's a little bit insider tradery as well.
Oh, I didn't kind of catch that, but that does kind of ring.
They're trying to inflate the market.
Right.
So that they can sell into the market. It's kind of like Phoenix, because most of Phoenix economy is built on building buildings so people can live here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all well and good, except you should have something for the people to do other than just live here.
Exactly. Yeah, Phoenix was in one of the four cities that they said the property prices were going to just take a huge dive.
Yeah, they're overextended now, so
that
wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
That's going to be, whatever.
So I think you know what? I think we can wrap up NFTs right now.
Right.
Because what more is there to be said? I know.
What?
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. See what you're
saying. No, I was just going to say, it sounds like they're just buying all kinds of crap when they're sweeping the floor. And I don't know. And the fact that it's like less than half its value from months ago doesn't thrill me. And, I was never into it. So we can move on. Go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
The only other thing to take away is don't take NFTs. Don't just avoid them.
Right.
Don't do it. They may eventually, it's an interesting technology. It may eventually evolve into something, but right now it's just a screaming, pooping baby. Don't go anywhere near those unless you have to, unless you really have to.
A screaming, pooping baby.
Yes. Yeah, so that's just bad. You don't want those things.
Okay. Well, on that note,
Jeff Koons.
Mm-hmm.
Big news.
Big news. This was
Art Fair in Miami.
Who the hell? I mean, I don't know.
What?
Jeff Koons has all of these balloon dogs. Some of them are glass.
I don't think any of them are glass. They look like...
I thought this was glass. They look like glass? I thought this was glass.
I think this was a ceramic version of it. I don't know all the different variations he's got, but he has... I don't even know how to start with this.
I guess my biggest takeaway was just don't touch the art.
Touch the goddamn art, especially if it's not art. if you can't interact with a thing, why bother? Always touch the art. If you can touch the art, touch the art. Touch the art. I am totally in support of touching art.
Are you?
It's not sacrosanct. It's just art.
What
we're talking about is Jeff Koons, 10 years ago, 15, I don't know how long ago he started doing this, but he started making sculptures of balloon animals.
Mm-hmm.
And don't overthink it. I mean exactly that. Balloon animals. If you hired a balloon artist to come to your son's birthday party and make balloon animals, this is exactly what he's done. He's taken the balloon animals. No, I'm not exaggerating in the slightest. He's taken balloon animals and made them into sculptures. Some of them are very big, and some of them are very small. And the larger ones, I remember seeing an interesting piece, technically speaking, but not artistically, about how he was casting them in aluminum. So he casts them in aluminum, then his minions do.
Mm-hmm.
And then his minions do a beautiful paint job on it, so it looks like a metallic inflatable dog. And they also had an inflatable series where the floats that go down on the Macy's Day Parade. He did kind of things like that as well. So just kind of a bizarre idea, and he's able to sell them because he's good at selling crap.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we have one of these little dogs. It wasn't that big. It was maybe 18 inches long.
They said it was a puppy.
And it was at a show in Miami, and a woman knocked it over by accident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how.
Yeah, so the Airy Winwood, the Contemporary Art Fair, it's art fair. It's annually in Miami. One of the guys who actually wanted to buy the shards of this piece said that she walked up to it and just kind of tapped it or something. And then the thing fell down.
Yeah, they didn't really explain exactly. I mean, I don't know if the base was unstable or the piece was unstable or she was unstable or all
of
three.
Yeah, they said she tapped. She knocked it off the pedestal by tapping it with her finger.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it was unstable because...
Well, I don't know. Something wasn't stable. Something or something was not stable.
Yeah, they said she was so embarrassed she wanted to disappear.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And she was an art collector. So was she just feeling out her future purchase?
Doesn't really mean, that just means you have enough money to buy crap.
Yeah, $42,000. But they were all happy that she didn't have to pay that because it was insured. Yeah, the craziest thing was that these were limited editions. So they went down from 799 pieces and now it's 798. So collectors overall, I seem, you know.
That still seems like a lot of little dogs to have running around.
Right. Yeah. They said they were okay with it because it raised the value of their own pieces.
Limited edition. I don't know if, like, you know, I guess that's quote limited. Technically that's limited, but 800 pieces. Come on. That's not that limited, especially when you can buy them at Neiman Marcus.
Can you?
Yeah.
Like knockoffs?
Neiman Marcus. No. NeimanMarcus.com has these for sale for $42,000.
Oh, no way. Oh, God. Okay. I'll just blow up a balloon.
Well,
anyway,
you're missing the visceral sense of being able to smash. Balloons don't smash, so what's the point of that?
Well, you can pop it.
That's a good point.
So,
but yeah, no. The main takeaway is pick one up today at your local Neiman Marcus or wherever shoddy, overpriced crap is sold.
And then go home and break it?
The breaking is up to you. I don't think you have to break it.
The other thing that cracked me up that I kept hearing about, they said that some people thought it was performance art before realizing it was an accident.
People are so dumb. I mean,
how far have we come?
Again, emperor in his clothing. Oh, man, these clothes look really good. I think I'll wear this outside. Emperor, you realize you're in your underwear?
Right. I did see a video clip. I'll have to find it. If I find it, again, I'll put it in the show notes, where you see it afterwards, and people were literally like, oh, is it worth more now? Is there kind of pre-sweeping it up? Did you see that clip? It was hilarious. And
I just want to go around smacking people. I can't do
this anymore.
And I'm just
like, and so this guy, he was a local artist. He offered to buy the pieces that were being swept away. And they're like, no, we have to inventory them and put them.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's
because go ahead.
The insurance
claim. Yeah, and they're like, why would you want to buy shards of this piece? And he said, because it has a really cool story.
That's a stupid story. I mean, that really is the most benign. If that's an interesting story, you need to get out more.
Right. I thought it was bizarre. I felt bad for the little dog, because I do think they're cute, whether or not.
Yeah, they're nice little Chotsky.
What is it? Chotskys?
Chotsky. Yeah, that's all it is. It's just priced 1,000 times higher than its value.
Yeah, 42.
I mean, $42. Mm-hmm. Would be, yeah, I guess $42 would be about fair for a little ceramic dog. It's a pretty little piece, yeah.
So it's like you're saying it's a $42,000 dust catcher. That's what my mother would call them.
If I spent $42,000 on this, though, I would be a little bit happier if they were, in fact, in cast aluminum, because they'd be a little bit more durable. It seems kind of cheap to cheap out on the little ones and go to ceramic.
Some of these sculptures have sold for tens of millions.
Yeah, I don't care.
And he did a rabbit.
But they're much bigger. You can't equate them because he has them in all different materials and all different
scales.
What
was the rabbit made out of and how big was it? The one that sold for $91 million.
I have no idea.
I should have researched that. But that was the highest price sale.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. Oh,
yeah,
he made a rabbit and it sold for $91 million. It was the highest sale price ever for a living artist.
Well, I can go take a ride through Phoenix and probably see three or four rabbits today if I wanted to.
I saw a rabbit the other day.
Pay anyone $90 million. Yeah.
And it is the year of the rabbit.
I do encourage you to go to NeimanMarcus.com and search for coons.
I will do that right now.
Other than, you know, being able to replace, quote, the artwork that was lost by just putting in your shopping bag. Mm-hmm. Ooh, maybe we should steal one.
No.
He also has some commemorative plates for sale at Neiman Marcus. And I'm embarrassed for him looking at these things because they are commemorative plates. They're pictures of his, quote, artwork printed on a plate.
No.
And that is almost as low-hanging fruit as you can get.
Oh, my God.
This is like Thomas Kincaid level stuff. And if you see any real difference between Thomas Kincaid and Jeff Koons, well, yeah, Thomas Kincaid actually painted his own paintings and had some actual skill. So I would say Kincaid is the better artist. Oh, did you notice on the last show art, I totally Kincaided the crap out of that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, good. I hope that didn't go
unnoticed. You Kincaided the crap out of it. That's
no,
good.
I used Kincaid as one of the prompts because I wanted that aesthetic. And it did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, it looked good. Everything looked good.
You know, the other thing I noticed
what?
In the show notes, let me actually pull this up so I can get it right. The show notes, you start off by saying, James and Catherine reconvene to ... I won't, but it says James.
Uh-huh.
James and Catherine, you put me first for once.
I know, I do that periodically.
Now all we have to do is get rid of the Catherine part. And
we'll be
right on target. What?
Oh. I like our podcast. Okay. unless you want to do it alone.
Oh, no, 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 no. I just want to be the star of everything.
Well, you are.
Should read James and his co-host or his sidekick.
I feel like a sidekick sometimes, but that's okay. I thought the show notes were fun that time, that one.
Oh, good. Glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I wrote them. Glad you enjoyed it. I wrote them.
No, but I'm glad you enjoyed writing the show
I know.
Notes.
I do like writing. I should write more.
I have told you that.
Before AI generation like takes over that
know,
too.
I don't know how many times I tell you this to write more. Why don't you, will you listen to yourself then if you don't listen to me?
Sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's not that hard to set up a blog so you can publish your poetry.
No, it isn't. I just have to do it in between everything else I'm doing. But back to Jeff Koons.
Really?
Would it be like, no, I was just thinking, I do like those little sculptured animals. Could we do one like out of balloons and then just sculpt over it?
Well, you could cast it.
Is that knocking
that
off his
how
idea?
He's doing it. I'm not sure.
Who cares?
He's knocking off balloons to begin with. Uh-huh. I don't think he might try to exert some copyright on it, but I don't think he's got much of a leg to stand on since he's literally just taking balloon art.
Right. I mean, he's kind of knocking it off because they've all made the same dogs.
Exactly. I couldn't imagine he had would have a serious claim.
Okay.
It's not to say he wouldn't try to make one and he'd win because he has the money and you don't.
Right.
The settlement could be all of your crap.
All of my crap.
So this might work out for you. You can say, yes, Jeff, you won your settlement, so come take all my crap out of my house for me.
That would solve so many problems right now. Right. I do want to send, I'm going to send you a link to the, because it cracked me up and just in not closing, you can cut this out. But there's this gal on Instagram, I think it's called like Shitty Crafts or something. And she's hilarious. And she does the worst.
That sounds fantastic.
And she does the worst stuff. And it's like so tongue in cheek. And I freaking love it.
That sounds fantastic. We'll talk about that next time.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Okay. So until next time then.
Yep.
I am Groot.
Ugh. Don't Groot me.